Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Straight Talk. We are the talk show made for men by men, except ladies, I promise you will never want to miss our shows. And I'm Ted Santos, I'm your host, and today we are going to be going on a journey. We come to you every Sunday live. We come to you from 7 p.m. until 8:30. Not that I forgot, just 7 to 8:30. We come to you live every Sunday. And we are the show that talks about life, love, relationships, business, career. We've had conversations about wealth, even generational wealth, except we always do it from the man's perspective. There's no better place on the planet to talk about relationships from a man's perspective, and we do it in a very classy way. And we will give you what men really think about. So we are a safe space for men and women, and this is the best place in the world for men to be able to actually talk about what they think about life, about love, about relationships, about generational wealth, about career. And tonight we're going to have a sensitive topic. Generally, our topics are pretty tough ones. They are not the most favorable, so some people may even call them provocative. They may not always be what you call politically correct. And so we are going to open up one that's probably not very nice. It's actually kind of ugly. And we are doing it from a guy's perspective. And this is the best place in the world for women. If you really want to understand what men think, this is a great place to engage men. Straight Talk is really like a virtual negotiating table where men and women come to the table and really get to hear one another out. You get to say the good, the bad, and the ugly. And for decades, men, we've been listening to ladies. There are all kinds of platforms where women get to talk about the things that concern them in life, and we are doing that for men. So I understand, ladies, you may have ideas about the way these things should go. We are doing this from a man's perspective. So we invite you to join us into what you call the proverbial man cave. And we are going to talk about something that is sensitive. So let's get into that. For those of you who would like to join the conversation, it's live. We always do it in somewhat of a forum perspective or format, I'll say, where we have people call and we can talk back and forth live with one another on the line. Our call-in number, it's 323-642-1387. You can call in at 323-642-1387. So, we have, as I said, we've spoken about quite a few provocative topics on Straight Talk. And today, this one, on the surface, may seem pretty cut and dry. Like, people can easily say the answer is yes, or this is how things should be handled. And we're asking a question. Should women suffer consequences for filing false rape charges? And this is not I wouldn't say it's a new subject, a new topic. This is something that we have dealt with in the country. And of course, and I'll say right off the top that rape is a horrible crime. Anyone who rapes someone and you have done it and you're found guilty of actually committing the crime, you did do it, there needs to be consequences. No question, no doubt. At the same time, we've seen a lot of situations where not only it's been just out and out a lie about rape, there have even been times where the accusation is for some sort of molestation or abuse. I was touched, I was harassed. And we've seen men actually get arrested and either lose their careers or lose a future. Like, their whole life is ruined. So what should we do in the case where a woman just blatantly lies. I mean, you're going to know as a woman, you're going to know if you've been raped or not. So this isn't one of those situations where you accidentally made a mistake and didn't know what you were doing. So should women suffer consequences for filing rape charges is what we're asking. And one of the big stories in the news, lots of people have heard about it, I'm sure, is we're hearing about Antonio Brown. He's recently had charges filed against him. He plays for the New England Patriots, and he's been settling this ordeal for several months now, but it seems like he strategically waited until he had a deal with his team because he was playing for the Raiders before. And has charges being filed against him by a woman named Brittany Taylor. But before I dive into that, you know, as I said, this has happened many times before. We have the Central Park Five. Those gentlemen served a long prison sentence before they were exonerated and released from prison. So, you know, what happens to a man's life? Does a woman just say, I lied and I'm sorry and, you know, accept my apology, let's kiss and make up? I mean, that was a terrible case that those men served prison time for something they never did. There's also a case that's still hot. There's a gentleman in Hawaii by the name of Roynez Doral. And Roynez Doral was accused of raping his girlfriend's 14-year-old daughter. And he served 8 years in prison. And he's still fighting to have that overturned because now he's filed as a sex offender for having sex with a minor, only to find out that she lied and she was at that time dating some guy who worked in her school who was 26, and she subsequently married that gentleman. And everyone, including the guy's girlfriend, the husband of the former 14-year-old, and even the 14-year-old all came forward and recanted the story. So this gentleman is still fighting to have his name cleared so that he's not a sex offender. But, you know, those are 8 years that he'll never get back. You know, he was in the Navy. So what are we doing for people, for men, who were falsely accused? And like I said, rape is a horrible thing. And no woman or man, and as a side note, a lot of men are raped here in the U.S. United States is the first country in the world where more men are raped than women. So I think men probably have a difficult time reporting that. And when you count the military and prison, they say it actually works out that more men are raped. So people are raped. It's a horrible violation. It is physical violence. It's humiliating. And lots of people do not like to report it. So here we have cases where women do report it, even though it didn't happen. In 2011, there was a gentleman who was the head of the IMF. And for those of you who don't know what the IMF, it's the International Monetary Fund. And the IMF is a very powerful organization on the planet. They loan money to countries, so we're talking billions of dollars. And at the time, the head of the IMF was Dominique Strauss-Kahn. He had run for president of France, and he lost the nomination, and they say he was looking to do it again, except in 2011, a woman from Guinea said that he harassed her, and he said it was consensual. There was even talk that maybe she was a prostitute, but later she recanted her story and said that he didn't force, there was no sexual abuse. And in the meantime, Dominique Strauss-Kahn was arrested the walk of shame. He was locked up. He was given bail. He was released, except he still had to go through a trial, and there was an undisclosed settlement made where his name was cleared, except in the meantime, his career was destroyed. So he never ran for president after that. So, you know, it can be said as, hey, I made this false accusation. I'm sorry. I should have never done it. Except now you have a guy's whole life and career is destroyed. So now we get to the case that's hot in the news right now, Antonio Brown and Brittany Taylor. Brown is playing today. He's scheduled. He's not put on the list of exempt players. So he is being allowed to play in the game because he is adamantly denying that he raped her. Brittany Taylor is claiming that there were three occasions. She was his trainer, and she said she was raped by him more than once. The lawsuit is very interesting. It seems that Brown has taken the position where women are doing this and almost looking at these professional players as a money grab. So you become close or friendly with them, and then you make your accusation and you can file. You can file a lawsuit. You can make a claim. And the guy is, he's still young. He's 31. So he doesn't want to lose his career. So maybe he's just going to settle. Maybe he'll avoid prison. And he has rejected a $2 million settlement. So it seems like this situation is going to heat up, and it'll be interesting if he actually did do what she claims. I saw a video that was, I don't know if you call it leaked, but it looked like a video where Antonio Brown was filming or using his phone to show videos of the two of them together, spending time. It looked like they were having fun. They had an intimate relationship. She was even sitting on the bed, the edge of the bed, in one of them. So if these are authentic videos, this may be a false claim. However, if he did do it, it would seem that the punishment for him would be quite severe because he's been denying it for some time now. So love to hear your thoughts on this. Once again, you can call in. Our phone number is 323-642-1387. That's 323-642-1387. If you've ever had the misfortune of being in this situation and you're exonerated and found not guilty of it, would love to hear from you and how you dealt with that. It seems like everyone is saying that if a woman makes a false claim, they should just be simply arrested. Is that always the only solution? Is it the best solution? Are there consequences for that? So, you know, we can even open that up and talk about that as well. So, Antonio Brown is under the spotlight now. You know, and I would wonder, how's that going to affect his performance in the game? You know, he's the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL right now. So will his performance be affected? You know, there are executives who have actually either been wrongly accused or have actually committed wrongdoing, anywhere from infidelity, sexual abuse, or even sexual harassment, and their performance as an executive suffered. So, you know, when you're on the field, will he be distracted today? Is he going to lose his focus for being the highest paid wide receiver? Will he lose some of that edge that he has to play the game the way he does? It's going to be very interesting to watch him and to see how things work out. Because as I just pointed out, this is not new. It's not the first time a man has been put in this situation. And as you can imagine, if a man does abuse, rape, assault, molest, a lot of guys are going to deny it. I assume there may be guys who will just say, yes, I did it. If you're in the position of a Brown and you're a professional athlete, well, it would seem that you would not want to ruin your career. He has several years left to go to play as, you know, as an NFL and to be as well played as he is able to. You would think he has a lot to offer. New England being one of the better or some consider best teams. I know that you can have a big argument about that one. Everyone has their favorite team. New England has won quite a few Super Bowls, so it's a great team to be traded to or to play for. So you would think playing for one of the best teams in the NFL and being the highest paid wide receiver, that's a pretty good match, and he would want to perform at his best. So what are your thoughts about this? What do you think? Do you think he did it? Do you think she's lying? Do you think that if she is lying, she should serve time? Should she serve the time that he would serve if he were found guilty? Or is there some other way to penalize women who actually lie about this, about being raped? I mean, rape is a very, very serious crime. So, love to hear your thoughts. 323-642-1387. That is 323-642-1387. And we are live at Straight Talk, and we are talking about whether or not women should suffer consequences for filing false rape charges. And I understand some of you may be watching the game right now. You may be watching him run down the field. Did he catch a touchdown? What are your thoughts on this? So, I'd like to know what your thoughts. Now, we have a Facebook group, and our Facebook group, for those of you who are not in it, we take on some of the toughest relationship topics there, and people get to talk about love, life, relationships, money, even sometimes politics. And when I posted this, everyone seemed to be in favor of, well, if she lied, she should surely go to jail. And I also saw some responses by women that said, well, rape is worse than a false accusation, which really didn't answer the question. Should women be penalized? Should Should there be consequences? And those women seem to believe that, well, it's just not as bad as rape, so, and there aren't that many women who lie about it. So I'd like to know what you think. Do you think that because rape is such a horrible crime and being falsely accused is in no way in comparison, that it's kind of not big that big of a deal, like we shouldn't even be bothered with it, that men should kind of get over it because there are women who really do get raped and it's much worse. So I'd like to hear your thoughts. You can call in and talk live. The number is 323-642-1387. That's 323-642-1387. And I'm going to start taking some calls now. So we're going to take our first call. Is going to be from area code 412. Area code 412, you're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Cheryl, and I'm calling from Pittsburgh.
Hey, Cheryl, how are you? Thanks for calling. So what do you think of this case? I don't know if you're keeping up with it, Antonio Brown, or just in general, women who file false rape charges. Should there be consequences for them?
I do believe that there should be consequences. I mean, because if someone actually gets put in prison behind false accusations and they lose some portion of their lives, they're taken away from their families, a lot of things happen when someone is actually not just accused but actually put in prison behind false accusations. So I do think that there should be consequences for that, whether it's a man or a woman.
Right, yeah, and that does happen. You can get women who do rape or molest young boys. So, and, you know, the most unfortunate part is inmates are not usually friendly to men who rape. Especially, and I was talking about the guy in Hawaii who was accused of raping his girlfriend's 14-year-old daughter. They're generally not friendly, only to find out he didn't do it. A lot of those guys can be raped themselves in prison for something that they never did. So, you know, that's not only, you know, this man's career destroyed, he had 8 years that he never gets back. He may have been, he actually raped himself. So how do you, you know, as you're saying, like, how do you ever recover from that? So what do you think the consequences should be in that situation?
Wow. Well, I mean, well, I guess a person should be locked up themselves. I mean, that would be one possibility of a consequence if someone, you know, was found to be accusing someone falsely of rape, and imprisonment
right.
Probably would be the first thing that a person would, or anyone would think should be the consequences of that. But, I mean, I think that they should probably be responsible also for helping the individual get back their lives. I mean, they can never get back the parts of their lives that they have lost, but, you know, maybe there should be some monetary consequences associated with that.
Okay. What do you mean by monetary consequences or, you know, monetary?
Like, you know, maybe they should have to pay. You know, pay, like, you know, you have restitutions and things of that nature when people pay. When people are, you know, damage someone's property or something, then they have to pay restitution to the individuals who they may have harmed or whose property they may have damaged. But it's kind of like a reverse thing. If that happened to someone where they were in prison, falsely, then the person that actually did the false accusing should, perhaps they should be paying to the individuals that had to spend the time in jail.
Yeah, and it seems like it could happen universally to any person. So the guy in Hawaii, he was serving in the military. In the case of Antonio Brown, he's a well-paid professional football player. So the woman who, well, Antonio Brown is claiming that she had a $30,000 IRS lien, and she was asking for $300,000 personally from him to purchase a house with her mother. And he later learned that her and her mother already owned the house, so they didn't need the money. So in that case, if he was fired, let's say the NFL said, hey, this is, you know, we have zero tolerance. As soon as you have an accusation like that, we're kicking you off, cutting you from the payroll. Most people are not going to be able to pay him for what he loses. I mean, this is a guy making millions of dollars. So most people would not even be able to help him. And if it is true that she has a $30,000 lien, I mean, she's in financial problems
right.
herself. So, I get what you're saying. Yes, you've ruined someone's life, and they may have a problem looking for a job, especially that guy in Hawaii. Like, he's 8 years in prison, and people ask, what have you been doing for the past 8 years? I've been in prison, except I didn't do it. And they find out child molestation. It just makes it even more complicated. Even though you may be found innocent, you now have a scarlet letter. You now have been branded with something that's hard to shake.
Right.
So, you know, that can be a problem in paying someone. Like, how
yeah,
do you
I
get that,
that
bad? You can't get time back, right? Right.
Right. Well, maybe they
Antonio,
should pay their time.
Sorry.
That would be another thing they could possibly do.
Do the time that...
of course you're going to say, well, they just put them in prison as well. But, I mean, that's just one thing. Maybe they could pay with their own time. I don't know, something in the community, but giving back their own time in some kind of way to help make some kind of amends, like some type of an amends type of project into the society, along with maybe some prison. I don't know what kind of consequences they could suffer. Because if people would look at it like, well, you made this guy go to jail, then you should go to jail too. Yeah, that's probably how most people would look at it, but is that the best way to handle it? That may not be. Maybe having someone pay with their own time and do some type of amends for doing something like that, because you know it's strange that people would do that. I mean, trying to get behind, why would someone do that in the first place? I mean, to try and get revenge on someone? I mean, like, what are you trying to gain by ruining someone's life like that?
Well, in the case of the guy in Hawaii, the guy was dating a woman. She had a 14-year-old daughter. That 14-year-old was dating a 26-year-old man who worked at her school. And I don't know if she was pregnant. I don't know all the details. To hide the fact that she was dating a 26-year-old man, she just made the claim that the boyfriend had sex with her. Her mother's boyfriend had sex with her, so he was locked up.
Oh, wow.
But she was hiding her own secret, and she later married the guy who was 26. She married him.
Wow. I mean, and then she's a child. I mean, what kind of punishment would she get? You give to a child?
16 years has gone by, so she's 30 years old now.
Oh.
So she's not a little
girl.
Anymore,
and people say, well, I was young then. I didn't make the proper decisions. I know that that was wrong. I mean, the consequence part is really, I think that's the harder part to determine what should be the consequence. Should there be a consequence? Yes, there should be one. But what exactly could it be or should it be? Because there's like all different scenarios under which that type of thing has happened, where people are accusing people falsely. Sometimes people are accusing people falsely because they actually, maybe they have, you know, a wrong understanding of what rape is. And they're like, well, I thought he was raping me or something. Or you have these young people like this. I'm scared to tell the truth about what I'm doing, so I'm trying to cover up my own wrongs, and I'm just going to make it something else. But meanwhile, you're jacking up somebody else's life.
Exactly. Right. And yeah, what you said is perfect. Right. I was 14. I had no idea what I was doing. I was just a little girl. I was a baby. And you can cry and say, I'm sorry. I was just a little girl and didn't know what I was doing. Please forgive me. And that's it. Meanwhile, this guy's life is ruined.
Exactly. So, you know, I don't know that it could be a blanket consequence for the circumstance, because the thing happens under different circumstances. So that
would be
it would be tough to say what would be the consequence, and that this would be the consequence in every case would be hard to really lay it out like that.
Well, so there are a couple of things. So one of the things that seems to happen, you know what? Let me see if we can pull someone else in here. And I want to present something. I'm going to bring someone in with an area code 404. You're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, this is Naj. I'm in Atlanta. What up?
Hey, Naj, is that what you said?
Yep.
Hey, Naj, how are you? Thanks for calling, man. From Atlanta, huh?
I ain't from here, but I'm here. You know how I go. What's going on, though?
All right.
Shout out to
us. All right, cool. All right, thank you. Thanks for calling in. So what do you – I'm going to ask – I'm going to kind of throw a wrench in this conversation in a second, but I want to get your thoughts on this before I do that. So the question is, should women suffer consequences for filing false rape charges? What do you think?
Yeah, I think false charges are always serious because they hurt people's perception of cases going forward. They can present huge problems for people. Just in the sense of that's like a scarlet letter that never goes away when you're talking about a charge that heavy. My one issue, though, with this conversation, though, because I think this is way too complicated to just lay it that cleanly, though, because here's the issue. You don't want to have zero tolerance policies or mandatory triggers on sentencing and things like that within a judicial system that you really can't say is worthy of giving that kind of power. So if you keep it open-ended, you could have it to where if somebody wants to pursue it, or if the local, you know, DA wants to pursue it, it can be done. Or if the victim of false charges wants to go after it, it can be done. But I don't agree with anything in this system to where you're automatically triggering something, because that becomes a get out of jail free card for judges to not do their work thoroughly and concern themselves with their record and being the tough on crime guy or being the person who gets the case that's in the headlines. So that would be my one caveat on it.
Well, just tell me a little bit more about what you're saying when you say the judge doesn't, you know, do their work. What do you mean by that? And are you an attorney? I'm asking.
Oh, no, not at all. Well, the same way that, drug sentencing started to change after you started putting in mandatory minimums and things like that. That way, they don't have to think about it because everything is already baked into the cake and they can just, boom.
Got it.
I have an incarceration rate or I have a conviction rate of X, Y, and Z. You see what I mean?
Right. So in the example where, let's just say, Antonio Brown, his sentencing would have been 8 years and we find out that he didn't do it, so automatically you give her, Brittany, 8 years mandatory, and that's, you're saying the judge is not really doing his due diligence. He's just throwing a blanket, you know, across on everyone.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Each case should be treated as an individual case, and we shouldn't be trying to set up metrics for sentencing in that way. I just think it turns out horribly when it's done that way.
And so one, I think one of the problems, and I think that's definitely a concern, and I and what you're saying I think is going to lead to a bigger concern, and I'm going to say it in a second, but I want to say something else first, and to you too, Cheryl. One of the problems is when a guy is accused of rape, it's almost like as a society, we just automatically side with the woman and just say he must have done it. And so the guy is guilty, and it's like I talked about the former the head of the IMF. He lost his job, like, immediately, and his whole reputation, the idea of running for president of France was all down the drain. So there are lots of guys who just, the accusation is made, and you're just automatically guilty. Now, I think if someone, is, correct me if I'm wrong, either one of you, if someone just comes along and says, hey, Bob over there murdered someone, you can't just throw Bob in jail. You've got to have some kind of evidence. But the way rape is set up, it seems like we just we do the automatic. It's not even a witch hunt. You're almost indicted. You're like, you've got one foot in and the other foot almost can't get out. So it's really kind of, it's not due process. It's more of a guilty before proven innocent. But what do you, the two of you think of that?
I mean, it does appear to be that way, because once someone is accused, they are running it in the newspapers. It's every day. I mean, it's already there as if the guy has already been convicted, is the way that you see it laid out there, and the trial hasn't even taken place. So in a way, they've already been on trial and they've already been convicted is the way that a lot of those types of cases seem to play out, because they run them hard in the news. And it's constantly running what the woman has said. And then if more women are coming forth and, you know, they run it and run it and run it. And, you know, then people start to be swayed by the amount of information that's there. And they just, people just automatically start thinking that, yes, this is true because of the amount of attention that it's getting before it even gets to go to a trial.
Right, right. Nice. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah. That's an interesting angle. The only thing I would say, well, I'll say two things to that. First thing first, you're usually talking about some celebrity or somebody
right.
who people feel like is newsworthy. For them to spread their name like that, or it's one of the cases that's just so horrific that it's catching all the headlines and it's out there. So the majority of cases are not like that. Most people who get caught up in this situation are people who are powerless, don't have good counsel as far as an attorney, and they just get steamrolled, even though they may be, you know what I'm saying, innocent. So it's usually that they can't afford the attorney that they need. Second point on this would be the same way that we protect victims in cases to where we say, okay, good journalistic practices, you don't put the victim's name in it, we can redact certain things to make sure nobody knows who this person is. Well, you can do the same thing for the accused. Now, the
right.
question is, okay, why don't they want to? Because you can do that same thing and wait until you're further along within the case before you start disclosing names and things like that. Because, of course, accusations are not evidence, and if you treat
right.
it like that, you're already you're turning the tide of the case before a word has been spoken. So yeah, so I mean,
right.
it's crazy as hell how that plays out. So this Antonio Brown thing, this is not even a criminal case; this is a civil case.
Exactly.
So this is going to get real interesting.
What are your thoughts on that? Since it's a civil instead of criminal, what are you thinking?
I think he may have gotten some bad advice. Him and Rosenhaus seem to have thought that this would either go away or that they had enough, you know, text messages or whatever they think will protect him to not think that this was going to get ugly. And the whole purpose for the other side was what? To make this difficult and ugly. Now,
right.
this summer where he did what he did and has this villain tag on him, makes this more difficult. So I don't know, because I'm not going to say he's lying or she's lying. because I have no idea. The one thing I do know is you employed that woman, and you should have never crossed that line.
Right.
Consensual.
Right.
Consensual, even.
Exactly.
You should have never crossed
exactly.
that line.
Did you see the email that they published?
Yeah, man, but I look, man.
It was pretty ugly.
I have a hard.
It was ugly. It was an ugly.
Yeah,
email.
But
I mean, text
I have
message.
A hard time. Put it like this: I have a hard time accepting strategic leaks of anything. So if one side drops this, and then the next week somebody else drops something else, you see what I'm saying? So I think this is one we need to take our time and wait on.
Well, and that's why last week I saw a video that would supposedly be leaked by him, right? So with him, it looked like it, well, yeah, definitely a couple of them. It looked like he was videotaping them together. And, you know, they, with technology, you could make up stuff like that, right? You possibly could. So we don't know. We don't know what's real. And right, the same with the text message. Like, this stuff is just strategically just falling out into the media. But the leak on his text is from him to her. And it's, yeah, he's calling her all kind of bitch. And, you know, you don't have anything. And you and your mother, you know, tricking. That whole, I mean, he just got really raw with her.
Yeah, but with no context, we don't know if they had a fight that night.
Exactly.
We don't know. Like,
right.
We don't know how this conversation started. Same as him releasing the video of them having fun together. We don't know if that was
right.
during really good times and it was just cool as hell then. Like, so that's why I'm looking at each side like, okay, you're putting this out for your benefit. This really does nothing for me as far as knowing what happened.
It's like a chess match. They're just making moves on the chessboard, and it's almost like you can't even see the whole board. You can only see the move that was made.
Yes, sir.
So you don't know all the pieces that are there or not there. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I just said yes, sir. I agree with you. That's all.
So okay. So now I want to throw a wrench in this. So yeah, I got it. Now, as you said, not necessarily a blanket consequences, and Cheryl, you're saying definitely should be consequences, and you know, you said restitution, you talk some sort of service, you know, some way. But so the thought is, if there are consequences that involve jail time or even money, you have to compensate them for lost wages. Well, if a woman knows that she's lying and she's now has this guy going who's in jail or headed to jail, what incentive does she have to confess? If she knows for sure, and to your point, Naj, if it's blanket, like, well, he was given 8 years, so now you have to take 8 years. How many women are going to come forward and say, I lied, give me my 8 years? Or whatever the, you know, blanket. That having consequences could have a problem.
Yeah, good point.
I'm saying that to both of you. What do you think of that? So, I mean, it's a tough situation because when you have consequences for a man or woman raping another person, doesn't matter what the gender is, if you commit the crime of rape, there are consequences. So that's to discourage people from raping someone, right? You know that consequences are clear cut. You don't know exactly what they are, but you know they exist. On its flip side, if you lie about it, the consequences are not so clear cut. And maybe there are none. You just say, I'm sorry, and people shake their finger at you and say, shame on you, and you go home.
But there's still this lying under oath that there's some consequence there. I don't know, like, what kind of the actual penalty is of lying under oath, but there is some
perjury.
Penalty there if it is found out.
Right, perjury, right. Yeah. Nod, what do you think?
No, she raised a great point, because those charges can be brought I think a lot of times, though, when you're dealing with cases like this, sometimes necessarily rape didn't happen, but something improper happened, and getting away sometimes is kind of the agenda, and the idea is they don't want to push it any further. But in cases to where, I'm sorry, y'all, I was on a run, and I decided to call in. I shouldn't have done that, so I'm out of here.
No, I love that you called in, so keep going. Keep going. You're cool.
Yeah, so think about that part. How does that part work if you're a person on the other end of the bell curve? If you're somebody who, yo, you ain't got nothing to do with this. This is just something that's been brought to you, and you're being, you know, railroaded. Those are typically the people who are gonna press and try and make sure that some type of punishment is there. And if you have a willing, you know, prosecutor or whoever, like, yeah, that can easily happen. Or especially a police force. Now, if you want to really throw a stick in the game, let's say this. You take a young blonde white guy and a young black woman, similar to Duke LaCrosse.
Right.
They went so hard, they took Mike Nifong's law, ability to practice law, away from it. You see what I'm saying? So when they want punishment, it's definitely available. It's just if people will pursue it.
Well, and Cheryl, you were kind of alluding to that, like the punishment doesn't necessarily have to be prison. It could be something else.
Exactly.
And taking away your profession, especially you're an attorney. I mean, hell, you went to law school, you took a bar, and then bang, you can no longer practice. That could be devastating.
Right. And yeah, that could be looked at as an option, as a consequence, but something. Yeah.
Right. Then the concern is a woman will just take the lie to the grave. What was Emmett? What was the guy's name who went to the? He was like
Emmett,
14
Emmett,
or something.
Emmett Till,
right.
And it was what, 2 years ago, where the woman confessed to lying about Emmett provoking everything. But honestly, though, I mean, that admission does nothing, though, because we're not really talking about law when we're talking about Southern white terrorism at the time. This was just straight up Southern white terrorism. Like, her admission or non-admission, you know what I'm saying? It really had no sway in anything.
Okay, all right. And what she waited, what I was using that as an example is if you could create that situation, if there's automatic punishment for a woman, she can just sit back and wait until her deathbed and confess, and that's it. What are you going to do? You know, she dies the next day or a week later. So.
Oh, my bad, man. I missed your point. I started riding on thinking about that woman's raggedy self and what she did, and I completely missed the point. No, great point.
I was saying that I only brought that up because what I'm saying is if you have consequences, automatic jail time or any jail time or loss of profession or have to pay a fine, the woman could just say, well, I don't want to deal with the consequences. I know I lied, so I'll just wait. I'll wait until I'm on my deathbed, and I'll confess, like that woman did with Emmett Till. She waited until her deathbed.
Yeah.
I mean, do you give women some sort of amnesty?
I'm not trying to interrupt the system. But.
Well, I'm going to ask both of you to hold one second. I want to bring in another caller on this. So I'm going to bring in area code 848. You're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Dwayne from New Jersey.
Hey, Dwayne, what's up?
Hey.
Cool. Thanks
All
for
right.
calling, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And, well, you know, I think this would – you know, there definitely should be consequences, you know, but there also should be a solution. You know, and I understand where, you know, things happen, you know, especially if you're young and you're afraid to bring it out, you know, but these are two grown people, you know, and if a woman gets raped, you know, she shouldn't wait 5 to 10 years to say something when, you know, especially when the guy is about to, you know, let's say, you know, like the Kavanaugh, you know. Not saying that he didn't do it, because I believe he did do it, because you had enough people who, you know, who was willing to testify and give evidence and stuff. But, you know, in this case, you know, I'm like what the other guy said. You know, I'm not going to say Brown didn't do it or he didn't. I don't know, you know. But I just think that if a woman's going to accuse a man of rape, or the opposite, a man accuses a woman, then, you know what, they should be able to do it right away. You know, like, okay, let's, you know, I was raped. You tell, you know, of course you're going to tell somebody, like maybe your closest friend or relative, you know, to say, hey, look, this is what happened to me. You know, at least somebody would know. You know, that's just my opinion. You know, rather than wait 10 years and then that person is, you know, is running for Congress or a Senate position. And now all of a sudden,
right,
you know, you want to speak out, you know, oh, well, this guy or this woman, she raped me, you know. And, you know, I just think that's one way of doing things, you know, because I know if
Go
ahead. I know if something happened like that to me, you know, I'm not going to wait 10 years, you know, I'm going to speak out against it, you know. So that's just my way of thinking, you know, as far as like, you know, a solution. There's got to be a solution. You know, where women are comfortable or a man's comfortable, hey, look, this is what happened, you know.
So let's ask Cheryl, you know, we have a woman here on the line. So is it that easy, Cheryl, do you think, for women to just come forward and say I was raped? I mean, I know you can't speak for every woman, but might there be a reason? And we look in this case, she's waiting more than a year. It says she was raped 3 times from 2017 and 18, and here we are at the end of 2019. Might there be legitimate reasons that a woman is afraid to come forward?
I think that there could be that possibility. You know, the woman looking at it over a period of time and really trying to determine, you know, what did she have some fault in this? Was this really rape? I could see how that could be playing out in a woman's mind. But I think also, like Dwayne is saying, there should be, like there's a statute on murder. You know, this thing is just getting really wild. People are just coming out of the woodworks, you know, and, you know, saying that these things have happened to them. So there should be some type of whatever needs to take place, encouragement or whatever needs to happen for people or women to know that, or men, whoever this is happening to, that, you know, they do need to speak out about this, you know, while all this is happening, because it seems like, you know, this is a period of time where it's just so much talk about people being raped, but the rape is not just now happening. You were raped X amount of years ago, and then now these things are coming out. So I think, like Dwayne is saying, at the same time that you're trying to address this, you know, putting forth a solution and maybe trying to work with people to encourage people to come forth sooner than later, and maybe there does need to be some type of statute on that sort of thing as well. That might be something that, you know, could be a possibility. Maybe it could curb some of the false accusation. Not necessarily, but perhaps, because it seems like, you know, when people are getting accused, then, you know, here's this person getting accused, and then it's like this guy is almost like a serial rapist or something, you know, then like all these people are coming out of the woodworks, or, you know, or something of that, or even when it's just one person that it's happening to, and why it takes so long for someone to say that that happened to them is, you know, I don't know why it could, but I could see how it could, but at some point you have to feel like you can say something. But, you know, people do have a hard time communicating about things that, you know, may they look at as bad things happening to them. And it's not just rape. So, I mean, it's not right. So far-fetched that people don't say something for long periods of time about things that have happened to them.
Yeah, see, this is where I become unpopular with y'all. I disagree completely with y'all on this one. I think these stories where people are bringing up sexual assault and rape from a long time ago, I think these are the stories that are easier to pick apart and usually more credible. Because for you to bring it at that point means you're going to deal with the embarrassment of taking those charges forward, of being the ridiculous person that's bringing something 10 years later. And this is the other part. That story has to be perfect. When you're dealing with 10 years ago and dealing with, you know, human memory, man, it's easy to pick those cases apart if somebody is lying, because the details you don't remember or you don't know are going to sink you before that case even, you know, gets very far. You say it happened at a gas station in 2006. Okay, we pulled up the city logistics. There was no gas station at that corner, you say, in 2006. That didn't appear till 2008. You see, like, those things come up. Like, these, I think the more recent, well, not more recent, but cases now where somebody's accused in the now, I think those are where you find more of the false accusations, sperm lovers, or somebody, you know, whatever you want to say, somebody mentally disturbed or whatever, and tries to do that to somebody. I think that's where more of the false cases are. But I think these older cases like that, I think, man, you got to have a preponderance of, like, good evidence for somebody to want to take it forward.
Well, you know, you bring up something. Yeah, I do, and I want to address, you bring up something important. So you say if, you know, the person's memory can be more shady if they waited some time. And from a psychological perspective, actually, that psychologically, if the person's memory is flawless, the concern is that they actually made it up and just rehearsed the whole thing. Like, when it's an authentic thing that happened to the person, they may forget some details, and the more you go over the story, the more likely they start coming up with something, oh, I forgot about this, oh, I forgot about that. With the person who is precise, like, they don't remember anything additional, like, they are precise to the point from A to Z for the whole story, that's when psychologists start to worry if that person is lying, because the story is too perfect.
I agree with that in terms of the story, but I'm just talking about when investigators talk to people. This is typically when they're in that room and things go awry and their case doesn't get brought forward. When they start to find out, like, okay, not only did this not happen, this could not have happened because this person wasn't in the city at the time. That's what I mean. Those kind of errors come up.
Okay.
Because they don't, you know what I mean? They don't know, right.
They wouldn't know that the person was, it's like, well, they were not even living here. They were living there, and they, you know, we have. Yeah.
Right.
Then the whole thing starts to unravel and fall apart. So now what I think I hear you saying is the person who comes forth after 10 years or more, they have the possibility for a greater embarrassment because the story can unravel because there are too many variables that they wouldn't know about for them to just make up a story. And as you said, they say, well, they didn't even live there. You know, that's impossible for them. So they risk the embarrassment of being caught in a lie. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's the side of the road I'm on. I know Like, I understand where you guys are coming from, because it's like the scariest thing ever, somebody coming 10 years later accusing you of something you didn't do. Like, that's scary as hell. So I definitely get y'all's point on this thing.
Well, see, I asked Cheryl for a reason, because I've dated women who, she was 27 and she was raped at 16, and I asked her, does your mother know? No. Does your father know? No. Your brother? No. She told no one. She never reported it. And, you know, and that this is already 11 years after the fact. And she had no reason to lie to me. In fact, I know she was raped before she told me. I'm the one who asked her, because she demonstrated certain behaviors of someone who's been raped. Like a situation came up, and I was like, whoa, and I backed off, because I could see that something was being triggered. So I backed off, and then I asked her later, and she didn't want to talk about it. And the way she didn't want to talk about it, it was disturbing. She had no reason to lie, and then at some point she became comfortable and told me, and told that she didn't say. So, and she said she had told no one. Like, I was the first person she had told, and that's 11 years after the fact. So I'm with you. That I wanted to bring that out, but I wanted to hear everyone first. But these, it happens that they tell no one at all. And now we can even talk about the women who, you know, the mother was a single mother and some guy was helping mom pay the bills, and he took liberties with the little girls who were 8, and, you know, she just never said anything. Those things happen also.
I understand that, what he's saying, his point, you know, because, but every case is
gonna be individual.
You know, so, you know, you got some rapes, well, let's say you got some incidents or people being accused, whether it's man or woman, are being accused of something and actually didn't do it, you know. So, you know, it's tough, and I understand people, you know, you're going to have people that won't talk about it. They don't talk about it, you know, until maybe years later, you know, they finally come out and bring it out. But the thing is, it's just, if somebody's, my argument is, if somebody's going to be, you know, let's say a person that's becoming famous, you know, don't wait till then, you know, to bring it out. And it's like, you know, that's where I question, you know, that, you know, to say, okay, well, you know, unless you have evidence, you know, like the one I bring out, Kavanaugh, because the lady, when she testified, she had evidence. There were people there that were witness when she went upstairs in the room, and, you know, and she identified what was in the room, how much he had to drink. There was people to back up and say, yeah, this is, he was, you know, he was a drunk, you know. So that's why I said that's believable, you know. But if you get somebody that, you can't, you know, just make accusation, oh, yeah, and it doesn't sound right, then, yeah, there should be a consequence for that woman bringing accusation, especially if they find out that she's lying, you know.
So I want to bring in another caller. Dwayne, this is one of the things that I was asking, and I want you to think about it. If women know, if the false accuser knows there's a consequence, then they may just shut up. Like we were talking about the Emmett Till, you know, he was executed for rape, and the woman waited till her deathbed. So if we have automatic consequences, the question is, will that have people just hide out until they're dying and then say something? And hell, what are you going to do? I'm dying. So I want you to answer that, but let me take a call here. I'm going to take a call from area code 313, area code 313. You're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, what's going on, man? This is Mars, man, calling from Detroit.
Mars, hey, Mars, thanks for calling, man. How you doing?
Just a little bit listening to you and the brother speak, man. He raised some very solid points. If I could point out something or to correct something, he used the term preponderance of evidence.
Right.
I think preponderance of evidence is a horrible standard. It's too low.
Okay.
When you're talking about something that's an accusation, a claim by one person against another, basically he said, she said, we need more than preponderance. We need overwhelming. Because too many X factors are there, right? I heard you all both speak about the human memory. I've done a lot of research on that, about eyewitness testimony and things of that nature. One of you pointed out that the person who recites the story too perfectly has a rehearsed story. That was a very good point there. The other gentleman said, well, when they're in interrogation and they're mentioning things that don't match the facts, that's a very important point there. Because usually, as he stated, with liars, they're misappropriating things because they're saying it on the fly. They're thinking that you might not know these details. I watch a lot of these stories when these allegations come out and how simple you can walk down the falsehood of most of them. If you just ask the right questions and then require basic answers, right? I watched the Supreme Court guy's case. And when she went into her spiel, I think his name is Kavanaugh, when she went into her spiel, it made absolutely no sense whatsoever. You're in a house, a party, where you don't exactly know where you're at. And for some reason, this guy just grabs you and he takes you in the room and he tries to kiss you. And you say he covers your mouth, but you don't kick him in the nuts. You can't resist at all, right? Then as soon as you say you resist, he stops, gets up, and leaves, right? Well, what the fuck did he do to you? What happened? And now it's, 30, 40, 50 years later? And she can recant this horrible, horrible moment to defame this man, as you said, when he's making an ascension in fame and status and his employment, right?
Right.
He's raising up to a prominent level, and all of a sudden you have this gripe that you want to issue years and years later. But this also leads to her getting speaking engagements and a book and all type of things, right? There's monetary gain to be made, right?
Right.
So that shows the intent. It gives way to a lot because there's something to gain. I always ask when something happens, who gains from this and who loses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can establish right there kind of a baseline for what's happening when someone has something to gain and someone has something to lose, right? I think that what one of you all said about the consequences for making the false claim, it definitely will change it. Because right now they can do it without any fear or repercussions, the same as making the babies randomly. They don't lose anything by doing it. There's literally no consequence. I don't know what to say because it's getting more wild. Like the woman the other day just, what did she do, buried the baby and they didn't do nothing to her? It's getting more and more loose.
Really? Wow.
Oh, yeah. There's some young girl had a baby buried in the backyard and they didn't do anything to her about this. She just
did
got
you
off.
See her, like did you see her picture?
Yeah, white girl. Young white girl.
Yeah. Not just that, though. You know, going to throw that blonde in there, too. But your point about preponderance of evidence not being enough, I think that's not enough.
It's too low of a standard.
Right. Let me respond to you. I think you're right on that. I think that was a good point. Your Kavanaugh point, you should check the news of what came out yesterday. There's actually more witnesses
coming
out.
Oh, yeah, I'm not familiar.
It was nowhere near what you just said, or just trying to get a kiss and then pushed off, and then that was that. No, it's a lot more. Check out the story today.
I watched her speak at the hearing.
Hold tight. Now, when you say, when you watch somebody about to get this good job or be famous or something like that, if somebody did do something to you and they're about to become a Supreme Court justice, that is kind of a big deal for somebody to be like, that dude? Wait a minute. You know what I'm saying? And no, she didn't benefit. She actually lost her job. She's not a professor anymore. It's going to be hard for her to teach anywhere just because of not only the backlash, but what board wants to bring her on. You know what I'm saying? Just controversy immediately when you bring her on to her school.
feminists do. She's like a feminist staple right now. She gives speeches at feminist events. This is not true. I'm misquoting this.
What I'm
she's
telling
amazing.
You, she used to be a professor.
Feminism.
What I'm telling you, she used to be a professor who had tenure. Going around doing speeches ain't that. But
so you telling me they fired her for that?
No, they didn't fire her. She stepped away because it was too much.
Ah,
man,
she
they put
stepped
the pressure
away.
On her.
No one took anything from her. She stepped away. See how you said that? No one fired her. She's not losing no job because of that. She stepped away. She decided to leave.
All right. Well,
no
well,
one
well let me say something to you because I know you saw the black professor the other day who had to quit because of hate mail, threats, and everything else on campus. When you got somebody that high profile who has the whole right wing ire at them, yeah, a lot of people do end up walking away from those jobs, man. Like, that's not
never in my
that
life
ain't what
I
you want.
A black man to a white woman. I would never compare the fear that a black man or the ridicule that a black man would get from a white woman who's a feminist. Never in my life. In this country, only three groups get to do whatever they want: racist white men, homosexuals, and feminist women. So I don't know what you're talking about throwing a black man that's a straight black male in comparison to that. We can barely say anything without getting some type of chastising, removal, or loss, even the highest level of us. So a regular black man is going to get a lot of backlash. But a white feminist woman, no. She's not losing anything. She's not losing anything.
Okay.
I refuse
so
to accept
me...
that as a premise.
Oh, okay. So you're telling me this doesn't happen
white
on
feminist.
Campuses?
Well,
all right.
That's what you one, want to one at a time. One at a time. One at a time. Go ahead.
I can't hear you. I couldn't hear you.
No, I just said if that's what you want to say, go ahead. But I know this
I mean,
to be true.
What,
I know that this happens a lot.
Is she not a feminist? Is she not a feminist? Does she not?
I don't know what that has to do with anything.
It has to do with her position. You mentioned white alt-right people, right wing, right? You mentioned that, right? Okay, a feminist is a prominent position in America at this time. Feminism and the Me Too movement is why she was there speaking in the first place. So it's a heavy hand that they hold. And a lot of men are losing a lot behind the Me Too allegations by feminists, pushed by the feminist agenda. Regular women ain't pushing that. One of y'all spoke about it. Women who get raped a lot of times, they say nothing. They live with that. Women who get molested, they say nothing. They live with that. A lot of the women telling the stories are the storytellers. The trauma holds
when you say a lot,
when
you say a lot, what is that?
A lot. A lot of those women.
Give me a baseline. Claims.
Let's go with Kobe. So we got woman after woman for generations telling that lie. Somebody mentioned Emmett Till all the way back. That's a long-standing lie that women use. So to act like it's something new or rare or something is insane. It's a standard tool. They use it all the time. They know they
can't. I don't say anything is rare or anything like that. I'm just saying these things happen, and you either act like it does
and
try to adjust to it, or you don't. But it does happen. So
and I
have
no
conversation about it.
Really do. Yeah, the women.
Yeah, but that's
where
like you got a bias.
You color
in
your
opinion.
I don't have a bias. I don't have a bias.
You guys are talking at the same time. Slow down.
Come on.
You guys are talking at the same time. You guys talking at the same time.
Oh, my bad. Let me let the bro finish.
I don't have a bias. I don't even really have a dog in the fight because I'm not a rapist, nor have I been raped. So all I can do is assess things as they are. So nothing I said was about my opinion. I said the women scream fake rape often. They're the ones who tell the stories. And the women who get abused often don't say anything from the trauma of it. I never said women weren't being abused. It's clear that a lot of women are being abused from the time they're children. So I'm not discounting women being raped in no way, shape, or form. But I said there's a lot of women use it as a tool. Open. The abuse, the rape, they all one and the same. They use false claims. And I think this show is about the women using the false claims and should they get consequences for that. And my answer would be yes.
Right.
Both things can be true. There can be false accusers and there can be victims. Both of these things are going on at the same time. So if we have a conversation about it, it doesn't mean you're protecting a feminist or anything like that. You're having a conversation about the issue. That's it. Like, there's no real getting into any camp on this. Like, I think most of us are looking at this like, because we were trying to come up with, or the brother was trying to come up with some way of saying, how could you have a policy that could discourage some of this stuff going on? And the thing we keep running into is these cases are so individual, they have to be treated in, as individual cases. If you start putting in, you know, heavy-handed measures, it looks like that's going to be an even worse disaster. So I think that's what we keep running into. But go ahead, anybody.
Right. Exactly, and that's a good point. Now, because Wayne, I was asking you,
yeah,
and I'm asking Mars, I'm asking everyone. Let's suppose when we look at the In the Pill case, where the woman, she just kept silent. So there are women who can make a false claim; they're just out and out lying. The man faces consequences. He goes to jail. He loses his career, and she knows if as what you were saying, Naj, if there are consequences, if she knows she's going to go to jail, then she won't say anything until she's on her deathbed. And so that could be the flip side of having mandatory consequences, that the women will just say nothing, take it to the grave. What are your thoughts, Dwayne? I'm asking you first and everyone else.
Yeah, I agree with that. If she makes a false allegation and they find out that it was a lie, and then she should be convicted, you know, because she just missed. I'm hearing a lot of background, like a lot of
hey,
noise.
Someone in the outside or in a car or something, window open, you go on mute.
Yeah. That, you know, there should be consequences where she should be charged, you know. It shouldn't be unpunished or, you know, and let's say the guy did time. He ended up doing 15 years and he come, you know, find out he was convicted of a crime that he didn't do, a rape that he didn't do. Now he comes out. He should be compensated and she should be convicted. Yeah.
Okay. What I'm saying is, she may, if she knows that, if she admits it that she lied, she may never say anything because she knows that there are consequences. So the fact
right.
there are consequences could cause women to say nothing. So now we have situations where women come forward and say, "I lied." And I was talking about the guy in Hawaii who, you know, he just finished 8 years. He's released. He's innocent, but the girl was who lied was 14. She was the daughter of his girlfriend. So will women just never say anything if they know there are consequences? That's the one concern. There are consequences for lying, and instead of paying the consequences, she just shuts up.
Right. Yeah, that's a rough one, you know. If she... that, you know, you're talking about at age 14 accusing somebody, you know. Really, I mean, the only thing I can say on that one is if she's 14 and she make that, she accuses, let's say, another 14-year-old of a rape and it turned out to be a lie, then, you know, of course, today, you know, I mean, you're talking about, like, if it's 10 years from now, then she's 24. That means she'd be about 24, and she decides, well, okay, it never happened.
Right.
Then that guy, the kid, still should be compensated. And then she should, you know, she should get some kind of consequences where maybe probation, you know. Because
okay.
being that she
okay.
was 14.
So it's almost like you put a pedophile on a list of people of sexual predators. You
mm-hmm.
put which that could this what I'm gonna suggest that could be a problem also. You put the liar, the false accuser on a list of lying about being raped or molested, now they're on a list. It gives them kind of a scarlet letter, and they're not necessarily serving time, except it. Any man could find out about that woman and maybe walk away because he doesn't want to deal with her. it gives her a scarlet letter in a way.
Yeah.
Hey, Mars, I want to get your thoughts on that. You still with us?
As far as the consequences for the women who falsely claim?
Well, see, it's really an inquiry. So if women know there are consequences and they know they're lying, they may just say nothing for fear of the consequences. So they'll just let the man serve the time, walk away and act like nothing happened, and do like the woman did with Emmett Till and wait to their deathbed to make a confession.
Okay, is everybody familiar with like the elements of a crime?
I educate us, man.
Each crime has a bar that has to be met, and they're broken to pieces called elements. If you are charged with a crime, and say there are three elements of that type of crime, if your lawyer can produce how one element is not met, you ought to get a not guilty. The problem with the fact that so many men can be found guilty of a sexual assault, to a rape, to an abuse they didn't do, is because this realm of law is circumventing elements of a crime. When you say that the entire basis of a crime is simply the claim of one person who's the claimant as victim and claimant as accuser, then that's not enough. I mean, I'm not a very religious man, but I'll tell you this. The Bible says the word of one accuser is not enough. It needs to be two or more people. Right?
Right.
So in this dynamic, what you have is a situation that goes against all other premises. You have a he said, she said dynamic, placing men in a situation where you say the burden of proof now shifts from the accuser to the accused.
Exactly.
To ward off what he's being accused of. It is the only type of criminal activity where that takes place, where now I have to refute the claim and the claimant doesn't have to prove the claim. You can start off with the hot potato in your lap. So I don't think anybody ever should have been in a circumstance where the woman can come back and she can say something that can change it. What does the evidence say? Right? As long as the situation is going to be based in that manner, then there never really is validity to the dynamic in the first place. So whether she wants to say later on that she lied or not, the evidence itself should show that. The evidence. And if there was a conflict in evidence, then you can't have the overwhelming clarity to say that the man was guilty in the first place, which is the problem here in this dynamic, that there never is any real validity to it. You can, what's it called, forensic evidence. Forensic evidence can show certain things, right?
Absolutely.
It gives way to things. When Kobe had his situation, one of the primary factors why Kobe walked away was the forensic study of the girl's panties revealed multiple DNA, right?
I remember that. Right.
She had been involved with multiple men in the 24-hour period. So the bruising that happened to her wasn't necessarily from being forced into sex. No, the bruising was happening from multiple sex partners in a short time.
Right.
See, without the panties, say she goes and says, oh, I'm hurting, he raped me and he forced me. Well, that initial evidence will point to something happening until you get the rest of the story, right? So if you just accept her initial claim, you don't have the rest of the story, and that's why it's insufficient evidence. All of these dynamics are based on insufficient evidence. And if there just would be a firm application to actual law and elements of a crime, these things wouldn't pass the bar for that. So when I listen to these things, a lot of times that's what I'm looking for. Okay, does it stack up here? Yes. Does it stack up here? Yes. And I get to the third one that says no. Well, we have a not guilty there. They cannot produce all of the elements to confirm the crime. That's what makes the law the law, right?
And you're making a great point, because that was one of the things we were talking about, is that it seems for rape, it's the only crime where you're guilty before proven innocent. Like, lose everything right from the beginning.
That and domestic violence and child abuse claims by men that are made at the man against the child. So whether or not you did anything, you're going to start off immediately as a guilty party. You're going to spend somewhere between 6 months to 2 years warding off false allegations, time that cannot be replaced, right? And all
exactly.
These aspects.
Let me bring in another caller. One second, everyone. Right. I want to see if we can get another perspective. So I'm going to bring in area code 347. 347, you're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Good evening. This is Tina Marie Rodriguez from Atlanta, Georgia. Good evening.
Hey, Tina Marie. Thanks for calling. How are you?
You're welcome. I'm great to be a part of this. I apologize. I was a little late. I was on another show. I've been listening greatly to you gentlemen talk. It's great to hear the perspective of men. To the gentleman caller, when you said the elements of crime, I've read that, and it's a great good evening. It's a great book to read for knowledge, but we got to remember there's two sides. You had made a statement of, you know, there are so many women that are claiming false allegations, and I agree with you. Women should be punished, and I'm a woman. And I want to state, you know, for everyone that's listening, I'm a conqueror of rape. I was raped before, and it wasn't consensual. A no is a no, whether it happens to a man or a woman. No is no. But I
right.
do believe that there should be punishment for someone who lies, especially with the long history of African Americans and what you, the African man, has had to endure. Okay? And it's on, as a woman speaking on rape and as being raped by someone that allegedly loved her, okay? Have a police officer come after you see all the bruising and the things that had gone on at that point, to have an officer come in, say, oh, that can't be. You weren't raped. No,
mm-hmm.
if it's no, it's no. If it's forced upon you, it's rape, okay? But should there be consequences of false allegations of people losing half their life or majority of their life? Yes. I do agree a woman should be penalized for it, and I agree with the other gentleman that said, you know, it's been far too long, it's been hidden. That's why this platform and this show that I commend you for it, to bring these topics out that are not easy, that are not sugar-coated, but
right.
real and authentic. To have
that's
guys come out to be as women... So we as women can understand. You have to be able to, there's two ways for communication, listening and comprehension. Okay, the Me Too movement has brought some good things for women and has brought negative things as for women. And I'm speaking as I am a woman. Okay, but see, it has gone on for so long and people do not speak up. They rather just walk away from it. Yes. There have been years
what?
Ago that as a rape victim, you can't speak about it right away. I'm not saying you should wait 20, 30 years, wait for people to get to a certain position. Rape is rape no matter who does it. And sometimes people that are in celebrity status or are that high-end status take advantage of others that are not in that same category.
Well, Tina Marie, let me ask you a question. Tina Marie, so are you saying that it is possible for a woman to be afraid to come forward and just say nothing? She could wait 10 years. Are you saying that that's possible in more cases
yes,
than people realize?
That is part of, yes, it is possible. I mean, no, don't get me wrong when I'm saying I do believe certain women lie. To, you know, to gain that status of the what they're trying to take away from that other individual, from that man, okay, because he's in a social status, okay, yes. But there are some things that is one of the effects of rape. It kills your voice. You are fearful
okay.
in your own body. And you can have, you know, it is documented, and I'm sorry I do not have the facts, but that I will send it to you. That is one of the effects. It kills your
okay.
voice. Just like the brother had said, years have gone by and women have not said anything about rape. You have, there was a my aunt. She was raped when she was a child. She was 15 years old. And she didn't speak of it for years. She kept it to herself because she was afraid that her attacker would do it again. And there was nobody there to help her. There was nobody there to support her.
So let me ask you. So I want to tie this in with what Mars was saying. So one of the challenges is if a woman says a man raped me, he really is guilty before proven innocent. And if a woman is raped, she loses her voice, except when you cross-examine or you sit down and you ask her questions, is it so easy for a woman to lie about that? Now, and I know the answer, simple answer, is yes, but I'm assuming there's some psychological way of responding, and I'm not saying you can put, like Nadia was saying, you can't put a blanket across and just have, you know, we're going to do a lie detector or have something like that. But as to what Mars's point was, if you can't come up with some sort of proof, and I know Cheryl, and she's still on the line, that mm-hmm. there has to be some sort of statute of limitations that you don't just wait 10 years. Like, if you have to understand that there are some parameters which help weed out women who will lie about it. That if you don't say something, there's a consequence, because you have to, at some point, we have to start protecting men or people who are being lied on about being raped. So are there things that are easily, you think, distinguishable when you are cross-examining a woman who is raped from someone who is just making it up? Like, is there some distinguishable evidence that a false accuser just won't have?
Oh, yeah, there's definitely the behavior patterns. I agree there should be a statute of limitations on rape, you know, when you're stating rape. But like I said to you before, it kills your voice when you're raped. You're in shock, okay, that this could happen. You know, even if it's from a friend that you've known, okay, because usually your attacker is not a stranger. 9 times out of 10, it's not a stranger, okay? It's someone you know, it's a family member, or it's someone you're close to that you've been intimate with, okay? There are things like, and I'm going to tie this in, where there are signs, the behavior patterns. You will not look at a person. When I was sexually assaulted, I could not look at anyone who resembled my attacker. I was cross-examined so many times. Because, you know, and I hate to say it because it sounds sexist, if I had a man who cross-examined me over and over and over again for hours when I filed the police report, are you sure? You see me bleeding. There was certain, the way the bruises are on the body, if you do anything of like forensics and watch the positioning of bruises on a person's body,
right.
Okay, you will see that. There's the psychological effects of, I was not able to look at someone who resembled my attacker, the person who raped me, the rapist who.
Right.
Okay, I could not look at or be around. I would tense up. I would not be able to speak. There are telltale signs, both physically and mentally. And yet just like molestation, there should be limits.
So with that said, and Mars, I'm like really like piggybacking on you. So if we get this current day Antonio Brown, and this woman Brittany Taylor, who's saying that she was raped. I mean, if she was raped by this guy, how could she still spend time with him? I mean, based on what you're saying, it would seem very difficult.
You couldn't.
Yeah, see, and this is where we're running into the individual versus laying out a idea that works for all. This is where we're running into that problem again. It's hard to say what each individual would do under Trump. So let's use this.
Right.
Let's use this. Highest incidence of rape within any profession, we're talking about the military. Now, most of these people, they don't say anything. They keep going. They want to make their rank. They want to keep moving up. They don't want to be seen as weak. or anything else, so they keep these things to themselves. It takes a lot of polling to even find out about some of it, and then after that, if people can't remain anonymous, they won't go forward with anything about it. I think some of these things we're saying sound good, but I don't know if we actually, like, brought it up to the to actual evidence or the numbers, if they would play out. Like, we keep saying, well, you know, you're guilty until proven innocent, or he laid out, you know, how hard it is as far as what a traditional crime is and the crime this. Well, what's the conviction rate for people who are accused of rape? Because from what I understand, we're not looking at a number to where people are just getting rolled in and rolled in and rolled in. Usually what we're talking about is you couldn't afford good counsel. And those people are shepherded in. But the people who can afford good counsel, they walk away. So I don't know. I think we're making some blanket statements here.
Well, that's why we're looking at this from a lot of different angles. And so I don't know if we've come up with a blanket statement, but there are some concerns. And that's why I asked Tina Marie. She's been so open about actually going through being raped. And I'm just wondering with this Antonio Brown, I mean, how do you continue having a working relationship except what you're saying? Nodge is that they do it in the military. They continue having a working relationship. But in the military, it seems a little different than being hired as a trainer. That's an at-will.
Okay, well, let's take that to corporate offices where you see the same dynamic, where people are quiet because they want to continue to move up and don't want to be, you know, saddled with something like this going on. So they keep going. So I don't think I use the military just to show the high rate that they have. We get into the police, it'll get really interesting because their rate is domestic violence and sexual assault is really, really high. But
Naj, even more when you include military and prison, actually more men are raped in the U.S. than women. So there are an enormous amount of men. There are an enormous amount of men who are raped in the military, and they stay in. I mean, well, you're the property of the United States government, for one.
So when you're dealing with different power dynamics, employee, boss, or management, you can see how somebody could either be quiet or stay around that person. So you're a trainer. You want to get NFL players to sign up and train with you. It'd be a good idea to keep quiet, you would think. So I can see how that would progress. Not saying that this accusation is valid, though. Not saying that either.
Okay. Any final thoughts from everyone? I'm going to bring this to a close. Any final thoughts from each of you?
Thank you for bringing the subject to light.
I didn't want to go first because I kept talking. Oh, go ahead, sister. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Thank you for bringing this subject to light.
No, thank you. You're welcome. Yeah, it's a sensitive topic, and it can go a lot of different ways. So.
Yeah, and again, you know, each case is individual. You know, I mean. It is a good topic and a powerful one, you know. But just so you know, Brett Brown did have a good game, you know. So he scored a couple of touchdowns.
I didn't see it. Okay.
Yeah.
He did play well. Oh, wow. Good.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he played well. So that was a bad thing, you know, because it was against my team. So not too happy, you know. Bad day for football.
Cheryl, not
it.
Good.
Oh, I think
last
that.
Word.
It's a very profound topic, and it deserves the attention that it's getting. And I think that it should have a part two.
Interesting. All right. Thank you. I don't know if Tina Marie, you wanted to say something else. I know Nodge has something, but Tina Marie, is there anything else you wanted to say in last words?
No, I agree. We should have a part two.
Okay. Okay.
I agree with Cheryl. Right. We should have a part two.
Fair enough. Thank you.
You're
all
welcome.
Right. Yeah, good job, host. Interesting talk with everybody. I'm going to check out the book the brother brought up. That sounds interesting. But, yeah, we'll see, man. We'll see, because this stuff is way more complicated than what we normally think it is, man, because every time one of us made an argument, somebody said something that made you think, like, wait a minute, am I sure about that? So, yeah, good job, man.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. So I thank you to all of you. I mean, that, you know, sensitive topic, and it, actually this is one of those emotional topics that can get heated. And, you know, thank you, Tina Marie. I'm sending a special thank you for being so open and transparent and sharing intimate details like that. So thank you. And this is one of those sensitive emotional topics that can get out of hand. So I thank all of you for being able to, like, just maturely and logically, and yeah, we're not boiling the ocean or saving the world, but we're all looking at this from different perspectives, and it's good for men to talk about this. In a lot of cases, we are kind of guilty before proven innocent. So I'd like us to be able to talk more as men about this, and I think we can get some sort of fairness in the judicial system, and not just based on race, but, you know, gender also. So thank you for all the listeners. We had a couple of other callers we didn't get to. Sorry about that, but we were out of time. Thank you, everyone. We'll have another exciting topic. Actually, we're going to have a really good topic next week. Not as sensitive and heavy, maybe a little more on the light side, but important nevertheless. So have a good evening, everyone. And if those who are not part of our Facebook page, please connect with me on Facebook. I'll plug you into the group. Those of you who are already in the group and you called, thanks a lot, guys. I'll talk to you all next week and see you on the Facebook page. Have a great evening and take care. Goodbye.
Okay. Good night.
Good night, everyone. Have a blessed week.
Good night.
Same. Good night, y'all.